In better economic times, Labor Day was a busy time for the travel industry, but maybe not this year. The industry is bracing for mixed results as fewer people are expected to fly or hit the highways compared to last year. But some still hope for a rebound, NPR's Adam Hochberg reports.
Like a lot of business people, travel agent Mike Savitt has had a slower than usual summer. Savitt's the sales manager at Beeline Travel, a big agency in Raleigh, North Carolina. His sales have dipped as the economy has sputtered this year, and he says his Labor Day weekend business has been sluggish as well.
It's down significantly from last year, really. Last Labor Day was before things really started to go south. You may recall October was when the market really took the dive, and we're seeing a significant downturn.
Savitt says Labor Day traditionally has been a time when leisure travelers take short trips, both in distance and duration. His North Carolina customers might spend a few days in Florida or take a quick jaunt to New York or Boston. But he says fewer people are booking trips this year, and even those who are traveling are trying to economize.
So, for example, I made a note last year, we had people who went to the Copley Plaza in Boston, which is a very nice hotel. We had people who went to the Ritz-Carlton in Fort Lauderdale, which is a nice hotel. We didn't see much of that this year. Now they're going to Marriott's and Sheraton's and lower quality types of hotels.
Those trends are being felt throughout the travel business this holiday weekend. Airlines say they expect about a 3% decline in passengers compared with last Labor Day. And AAA predicts overall travel will decline more than 13%. Still, not all the news is bad for the tourism industry. Tom Crosby of AAA says despite the expected declines from last year, Labor Day weekend will still be busier than Memorial Day was this spring.
Generally speaking, Memorial Day is much higher travel than Labor Day. And this year we're seeing about 12% more people traveling over Labor Day than over Memorial Day. That's a trend that kind of shows there might be just a touch more consumer optimism and people just want to get away for the last long weekend of the summer.
Crosby says travelers who do take to the road or the skies likely will find lower prices than last year. The cost of gasoline, for instance, is down about $1 a gallon. The current national average price for regular is about $2.60 a gallon. Meanwhile, the website Travelocity reports that airfares are at their lowest level of the summer. And Travelocity senior editor Genevieve Shaw Brown says hotel prices have dropped sharply.
Overall, hotel rates are down 15% from last Labor Day. In certain cities, they're down even more than that. For example, in Las Vegas, hotel rates are down 21%. In New York City, down 20%. In Los Angeles, 17%. And those are three of the most popular destinations this Labor Day weekend as well.
Travelocity expects airfares to start rising again this fall as airlines continue to cut back their flight schedules. And that may play a role in determining how many people will travel over this year's Thanksgiving holiday. That's typically the busiest travel weekend of the year. And Tom Crosby, the AAA spokesman, says the number of people who take trips then will provide a good read on how optimistic American families are about the economy. Adam Hochberg, NPR News, Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
And we take a moment now to say cheers to a man who's been on the job for nearly 8 decades. Angelo Camaretta has been a bartender in a Pittsburgh suburb since 1933. He's been dubbed the world's longest-serving bartender. We brought you the news a couple of weeks ago that Camaretta will soon be calling it quits. He's selling Camaretta's Cafe, the bar he now owns with his sons. We caught up with him last night after one of his last nights on the job.
I've gone every day for 77 years, practically. I serve beer and liquor. I'm not a fancy bar. I am not a mixologist. Couple of mixed drinks, gin and squirt, you know, or bourbon and coke, soda. And you don't stay in the business for 77 years. And let me go beyond that. I've seen the greatest century, I think, of all times. There's more done from horse and buggy days to whatever's going on in the universe. Amazing. Don't you think it's time that I should have a little time for myself?
Yeah, of course. Angelo Camaretto in Westview, Pennsylvania. He's soon ending his run as a bartender after 77 years. And we take a moment now to say cheers to a man who's been on the job for nearly 8 decades. Angelo Camaretta has been a bartender in a Pittsburgh suburb since 1933. He's been dubbed the world's longest-serving bartender. We brought you the news a couple of weeks ago that Camaretto will soon be calling it quits. He's selling Camaretta's Cafe, the bar he now owns with his sons. We caught up with him last night after one of his last nights on the job.
I've gone every day for 77 years, practically. I serve beer and liquor. I'm not a fancy bar. I am not a mixologist. A couple of mixed drinks, gin and squirt, you know, or bourbon and Coke, soda. And you don't stay in the business for 77 years. And let me go beyond that. I've seen the greatest century, I think, of all times. There's more done from horse and buggy days to whatever's going on in the universe. Amazing. Don't you think it's time that I should have a little time for myself?
Yeah, of course. Angelo Camaretto in Westview, Pennsylvania. He's soon ending his run as a bartender after 77 years.
Let's get an update now on the latest job numbers just out this morning. The Labor Department says the economy lost 216,000 jobs in August, and the unemployment rate hit 9.7%. The report shows that while the economy continues to shed jobs, those losses are getting smaller with each month. Frank Langfitt covers labor for NPR, and he's here with us in the studio. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning, Ari.
Okay, so you've been following these numbers for a while now. What's the big message that you get from today's report?
Well, the good news is the recession is almost certainly ending. Job losses are ebbing. We're losing less and less each month, as you just said. I mean, consider at the height in January, we lost 740,000 jobs. The bad news is the labor market is just murder. People are getting stuck out there. One thing that economists are looking very closely at is long-term unemployment. That's people who've been out of work for 27 weeks or longer, and that number's continuing to rise. It's now close to 5 million. The reason's very simple. More people are losing their jobs, but employers are still nervous about the recovery, and they're not really ready to hire.
Okay, so if layoffs are ebbing, when do you think hiring might start to increase?
Well, economists often look at a couple of indicators to get a feel for that. And this is frankly the worrying part. It looks like it's going to be some time. One thing that economists look at is the work week. Right now, the average is 33.1 hours. That's close to a historic low. There hasn't been any movement in the last month. What that really means is employers cut workers' hours a lot this recession. And so they're going to have to first start restoring them before they do any new hiring. Another indicator that's really important is temporary services. And that was down this month, back in August, down 6,500 jobs. Now, companies usually start hiring temps before they bring on full-time work. So again, that's another very important indicator that has to start rising before we see a lot more permanent jobs.
Not a lot of positive signs there. And
no.
Frank, you've been reporting on the human toll of this, interviewing people around Washington, D.C. What are you hearing from them?
It's very tough out there. And keep in mind, Washington is one of the best economies in the United States. We have all this government spending, so it's really insulated to some degree from the worst parts of this recession. Still, when you talk to people, I go to a lot of these employment offices, they're really frustrated. Some people can't pay their rent anymore. They're sleeping on the couches of their children or siblings. Some have been out of work a really long time, and they're worried about losing their unemployment benefits. Also, fighting depression. People are doing a little volunteer work, exercise. But the odds of getting a job right now are really daunting. Now there are about 6 unemployed people for every job opening. So some people feel like they're just sending resumes out into an abyss.
Well, looking ahead, how many more months of job losses do you think we can expect to see?
Well, when you talk to analysts, they expect at least a few more months. They're not certain. And, of course, we've got to get this last month in August, it was 216,000. We've got to get to zero, and that could take a little while. Probably won't see hiring kick back in maybe for another 6 to 9 months, and that's based on sort of historic trends, what we've seen in the past. And that means the unemployment rate will probably continue to rise. I mean, one analyst I talked to this morning with the Economic Policy Institute, that's a labor think tank here in Washington, D.C., she estimated that unemployment would peak next summer probably at about 10.4%. So going forward, the good news is we are probably almost certainly pulling out of this recession, but getting out of it and opportunities for workers are going to be really slow in coming.
Thanks. That's NPR's Frank Langfitt.
One change the Obama administration would like to see in healthcare has to do with the way that doctors practice medicine. The administration would like to see the doctors' offices keeping medical records on computers. To help, there is $19 billion in stimulus money. NPR's Joanne Silberner has been following the efforts of one doctor in suburban Maryland, and as she's found, making the switch is not easy.
Today, in a speech at the Brookings Institution, Vice President Joe Biden made a vow.
Well, what we're talking about, if we did nothing else, and we're going to do a great deal more in health care, you've got to modernize the system that allows for the transfer of information. It is archaic. It is absolutely archaic.
Doctors have been resistant. According to a survey last year in the New England Journal of Medicine, only 4% of physicians had total electronic record systems. 5 months ago, in Rockville, Maryland, pediatrician Cynthia Fishman decided to plow ahead with trepidation. Here's what she said then.
I'm nervous about technology. Today, for instance, I walked in and we're now transitioning our computers to the new system, and they were down.
Fishman worried that she'd focus on the computer and not the child, that computerization would be expensive. Her nine-doctor practice completed the transition to computers last April, a few weeks ahead of schedule. But sure enough, in the first week, there was an electrical failure, and for a day, they were back to paper. Now Fishman totes around a tablet computer with a pen for the touchscreen and a keyboard for typing in information. She shows me her day.
So in this instance, my first patient of the morning was a three-year-old. And I would click in here, and I would wait. Because sometimes the computer is slower than I would like it to be.
The computer holds her patient's histories, her schedule, phone messages, and a prescription pad. But as for the promise that computerizing would make healthcare more efficient, not for Cynthia Fishman.
I will spend another couple of hours tonight at home after my children go to bed documenting in the computer what went on.
Information she didn't have time to type in during the day. As for costs, no money saved yet. Fishman's practice isn't receiving any of the stimulus money. They computerized too early. The big benefit for Cynthia Fishman would be if specialists and hospitals who treated her patients were able to send records that would go straight to her patients' charts. But no.
Right now, computers don't talk to each other.
Still, Fishman figured computerization was inevitable. She's made a conscious effort not to focus on the computer during examinations, and she's a good sport about the whole thing.
It's been going better now than it was the first month. So we're at least getting used to the system, and there's not as much griping. Yeah, it's better, but it's still, you have to come back to me in probably 9 months.
She's hopeful. She says colleagues who've been computerized for years tell her they're happy. Meanwhile, the administration is hoping that computerized medical records will save on the nation's health care bill by wiping out inefficiencies like repeated medical testing. But that remains to be proven. Joanne Silberner, NPR News.